From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Andy Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. It's a sad day. We found out last night that the founder and former president of Nintendo passed away. So
yep. Hiroshi Yamauchi.
Yeah, so we grieve with Nintendo. We all grew up playing Nintendo games, I assume.
Yep.
Yeah.
I started with Game & Watch, which is the old fold-up ones.
With
the old LCD screens. This is the early 80s. Actually, late 70s.
That's way back.
Yeah. And I remember particularly Oil Panic and Donkey Kong were the two ones that had flip-ups, and the rest of them were just a single one.
You remember the Virtual Boy? Did you ever see the Virtual Boy?
I had a Virtual Boy until recently.
Oh, those are like collector's items now.
Yeah,
right?
I finally sold it on eBay because I was like, really,
you
what am I?
Play that.
But I had every single game that I'd collected
All
over
like
the
three
years.
Of them that they
no,
released?
There were probably nine.
Were there? Okay.
But then I was like, I'm not going to.
I think the Nintendo 64 was the big one, right? I mean, it was, and you could get the extra memory slot, stuff like that.
Somehow I never actually had a Nintendo console, but the first Nintendo game I ever played was Donkey Kong. I had the cartridge for my Atari 800.
Yeah. Nice.
And it was great. It was actually a really good like rendition of the arcade version.
Yeah.
So it was.
I think the whole Mario suite is just awesome, right? They've been awesome for 20 years and.
Yeah, I had the little tabletop arcade game, so it looked like the stand-up arcade of Donkey Kong, but it was like the short
little
thing and LCD screen that was horrible graphics. Not the best user experience, but I would take whatever I could get when I was a kid. So,
well, do you remember as a kid you used to look forward to going to the airport because the odds are they'd have a table game there that you could sit at and waste your time waiting for the flight.
Oh, yeah. Well, they still have a few of those around. Every once in a while, you'll see one in some dive bar or something. You're like, oh, yeah. Those are great.
Anyway, sorry, Nintendo.
Sad day for video gaming.
Yeah. And then today, what are we talking about, Andrew? We've got viewer questions.
Yeah, from Judy. Judy bought a new machine, and it was a bit slow, and she saw
a
the
new machine.
A new one.
Slow. Okay.
Yeah, to boot. Also, maybe to run as well. And she wanted a bit of help with that. And so she said she was a senior citizen and wasn't really cluey and just wanted to reach out, which I was impressed that she was watching the show.
Yeah, she said she watched our Auto Runs episode and found it interesting but didn't quite know where to start or you know how to interpret what she was seeing.
So, so she did exactly that and sent us the Auto Runs file. She got the right point at the start.
Yeah.
And this is the file she sent us. And when you bring it up, it comes up blank, and I know why. And it's because we haven't updated the SysInternals tools on this box for a while, and this was captured with the recent, I got her to download the latest copy.
So she used the new version of Auto Runs, and you've got the old version here.
Yeah. And so this just...
And it just comes up blank? Like there's no error message? Like,
what can I say? Mark and I need to have a little talk. So let's just download that to the hard drive. We've done it before. When you download a file from the internet, we actually tag it with that, and actually that gives us an opportunity to show you a tool. So when this download's finished, it's finished. So we just downloaded the file from the internet, and there's a SysInternals tool called Streams. And what you do is you can give it a file name, so say sysinternals.zip, and you'll see that there's actually a second line here. So the zip line is the actual data of the zip file, and there's actually a second, they call it a stream.
Alternate data stream.
Yeah. Which actually has this file name that contains the zone where it came from. So at the moment, it's tagged as being from the internet zone. So as you copy it around from point to point on the hard drive, that stream goes with it. If you copy it onto something that's not NTFS, which is what supports the streams, like onto FAT, which is what you may have a USB stick formatted as, you'll lose that because those file systems don't support the alternate data stream. So and
sometimes you'll get some kind of a pop-up dialogue saying like, oh, warning, you might lose some data or something.
And that's what it is. And so when we when we get the file and go properties, I missed it by one, I think. I think I picked the vet one next to it. You'll see how there's this unblock keyword. And it's because it's picked up that there's this zone stream and that it's actually attached to the internet. If we go unblock and press OK, it will change the zone information. Oh, no, it's actually gone because it got rid of the zone.
Got rid of it.
And so, yeah, so that's how you unblock it. And now, as I extract this, I'll explain why it's important. When you have a CHM file that's still tagged from the internet zone, so if I unzip this without doing that, the stream would be attached to every file that was unzipped.
And a CHM is a help file, the old version of our help file.
So, yeah, so if you, and we had a viewer who asked this question and was able to give this advice, is that if you bring up the help file, it says this cannot be found or it's not available or something. And that's what the issue is because it's not unblocked. So you could unblock it after the unzipped. Obviously, unblocking each one of these individually is annoying. So if you've done it by mistake, just delete the folder, unblock the zip file, and then
unblock the parent folder. And
no, it's per file. No.
Okay. So you've got a CHM file right there, AD in Explorer. So, that one comes up.
Yeah, because we unblocked it. But if all this error here will be all gray and give you errors and warnings. Mm. So so make sure you unblock everything before you do it, and use streams to see if it exists. So if we click on that now,
there we go.
Yeah, success. It's quite busy.
Yeah, it's quite robust.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah. So one of the things about auto runs is you've got to be careful with the options. So normally you'd go in here and say only show Microsoft and stuff like that, and then press OK. But it's actually rescan, not OK. So it's actually going to throw away the autoruns file that you loaded and actually scan your local box, right? So you can't use this to filter down.
When you've opened a different file.
Open a file, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to have to do it raw. Luckily, there's not that much Microsoft in here anyway, so it's not too onerous. Let's just start from the top. Looking at the corporation or the publisher is a good way of starting. Like, if you have a machine that has an Intel graphics driver and stuff like that, you should... You know, if it's that's a corporation that you kind of go, okay, that's acceptable to have them on. Realtek's another good example with network cards. So these first three are to do with something to do with Intel graphics. Just let them be. After a while, you'll actually start recognizing these three names as standard ones that you should keep. Realtek audio. Realtek's does audio and network hardware. Once again, their control panels. Like helper is perfectly fine. And then we're starting to get into a bit more of an OEM specific thing. So this is obviously a Toshiba laptop, and you'll see that there's some Toshiba function controls. So that's all your special keys on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Leave that alone. This is a Toshiba Corporation one. I'm going to assume that it's needed.
Echo Utility sounds like it's some kind of power management or other.
Yeah, economical.
Like it came from Toshiba, which is, this must be a Toshiba computer. Right?
So all of these, you'll notice, are in this path, and there's a WOW version. So this is the 64-bit run key, and this is the 32-bit run key. Mm. So these obviously are all probably 64-bit apps, and these are 32-bit apps. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to get into the bit more of the SPU. So you will see this Adobe automatic updater. It automatically installs every time you have installed something like Acrobat or something like that. It's how it keeps all the tools up to date. It's how you get your dialogue.
Doesn't like to let you disable it.
No, it will come back. It'll come back. And it's not onerous. It's one of those things that's acceptable to run your system. Apple Push, obviously this person's installed. There it is, iTunes. Mm-hmm. Once again, that's quite an acceptable one. And now there's a couple here which are a bit more additional than probably what the average machine needs. So AVG has been around for a long time. It's an antivirus. So there's one antivirus there. Obviously, with Windows, it comes with a Defender automatically, so that means there's two antiviruses running. Mm-hmm. Inbox.com, so this is a toolbar helper, probably for Internet Explorer or something like that.
Never heard of that one.
So that's something that's maybe a bit more additional. Spybot Search and Destroy, once again, there's another antivirus type tool. This is more about malware. But once again, it's one more additional than normal. Toshiba App Place, probably some app launching thing, debatably good or bad, maybe something you could disable. And vProtect, which is an AVG thing, maybe they should be putting the publisher in there. So in that little group alone, I go, well, AVG, Spybot,
two different
and Inbox.
Anti-malware apps, which is kind of
bit excessive.
Kind of
yeah.
makes me wonder. Yeah.
Then we're getting into Windows Mail and stuff. There's Yahoo and Pokey. Pokey's actually inside Judy's user profile. You can see how it's in app data. So it's this is a bit more, again, becoming more and more common. People have realized that it's hard to install software as administrator. Some people just don't have the rights. But software will run regardless of that. A lot more software these days doesn't use registry keys and stuff like that at the system level, which means you can just put the exe in that person's profile, and that's good enough, right?
Yeah, I noticed the new version. I run Ableton Live for music production. I noticed the newer version of Live 8 installs in your user profile instead of in program files, and it's so that they could enable automatic update feature.
Yeah. Now, the thing to be aware of is that this could be used for good and evil, right? It's great that it's easy for a person to install an application for themselves, but also means that that's how a virus can sit on the disk, yeah. right? It doesn't need administrator privilege to put itself on the disk and stay there and launch every time like these are, right? And so be aware that, you know, just because you haven't run that runs administrator, it doesn't mean that there's not a still program running, interacting with your own personal desktop, scraping passwords off it and stuff.
And do we know what Pokey is?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Never heard of that.
So actually, that's one of the questions I asked about. I said, if you installed it deliberately and you know what it is, that's great. Leave it
if
alone.
If you need it.
If you need it.
Not just say you know what it is, because I know what things are on my computer, but I don't need them.
Yeah.
That's true.
But
too.
I said, if you don't know what it is, particularly,
yeah.
that's you should really be getting rid of that. And then we go into a bit more. Here's another more SpyBot, more AVG. And now we hit Norton.
So right. That's a third anti-malware.
Yeah, and yeah. so and we keep on going down, and then there's these context menu helpers. So that's the right click inside Explorer.
Yeah,
I mean they're things that have to be loaded before you really can start the shell. Once again, a very good candidate of something slowing you down.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like these have to do with SpyBot based on the path over there.
Yeah, and the AVG. There's Symantec doing another context handler, and we keep on going.
So these are all like shell. Plug-in type things that have to be loaded.
All right, here's another one, Malwarebytes anti-malware.
You definitely don't want to get a virus if you've got
four
AVGs on there.
Yeah. So we get into the, you know, I think a good pitch is forming here that you're just asking for way too much to be loaded.
A lot of overhead.
And a lot of compute.
Yeah.
And you have to think, like, whenever you open an app now, like four different virus scanners
are
going to
check it out. It's a big brawl.
That's a lot of overhead.
And here's another one. There's a LibreOffice 4 shell handler. I don't know what LibreOffice is, but obviously it's for some file format that needs a column header. It's probably something that gives you a customized display in Explorer. But it just keeps on going and going and going. And so I pointed out the antivirus stuff particularly and said, you know, keep your iTunes, keep all the stuff that makes your box, usable. Like your function keys and stuff like that, but I think just simplistically take a step back and go: do I need more than one of something?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do I need to install the software that I use once?
Yeah. Now I have had an antivirus application and SpyBot, because SpyBot was a little bit different. I was trying to triangulate on one specific thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And SpyBot had its benefits there. But, you know, beyond that, I think it'd probably be best to focus on one antivirus that you want to use and then just focus on that, keep it updated.
I think personally, I mean, this would be Microsoft-centric, but when Microsoft Security Essentials came out and we started giving away antivirus and anti-malware for free, that was the point when I uninstalled all of these other ones, like AVG and SpyBot, particularly I've used a lot.
Yeah.
It used to be my engines before that. But once Security Essentials came out, that was the end of me doing anything third party.
Yeah, and it can be difficult just to say you should use the Microsoft one because it sounds like
they're going to use what they want. But you know, the thing I really love about the Microsoft one is it's very non-invasive.
Yeah.
You don't see it pop up with all the time and do stuff. It seems to have pretty low overhead. It doesn't seem to slow things down too noticeably. So personally, I find that I like the Microsoft one just because it stays out of my way.
Yeah, and I like it because it works well.
And it does work.
And from a trust level, that's what Microsoft uses. That's all we use in the whole of Microsoft.
Yeah.
So if we don't trust it, then, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to use whichever one they find is best. And I know there are comparisons out there, and people, you know, run tests against them to try to figure out which ones catch the most viruses. But the ones I've seen, I think, are, you know, the Microsoft one kind of stacks up pretty well against the competition. So I feel safe using ours.
Yeah, and if you like some other one, go ahead and use that and keep it updated and stick with one. You don't need to have a whole bunch of them on there.
A lot of times people don't even realize they have third-party antivirus on there because it just comes pre-installed on their computer too.
Yeah.
So, you know, be aware of what you have.
I think in general, just be aware of what you have installed. So go to Add Remove Programs, which is this one over here, or programs and features now, and just go through here and go, do I really want that program installed, stuff like that, and just be aware of what you have installed. I like to sort by publisher and go, okay, what do I have that's Microsoft, what's not Microsoft, what's, like, this Semantics one's a really good example, right? It's not a corporation that you know every day, but I know that this laptop has a touchpad, so it's completely justified, right? But if it's some corporation that you don't think is the hardware in the box, and if you want to kind of what hardware you've got, you can go Windows X and then M for Device Manager, and then have a little look around. You can just view by name and stuff if you want to.
But, and I sort mine by the installed on date, because usually the most recent things I've installed, it didn't pass the 1 week rule. So after a week, I didn't use it, and I don't really need it. So I'll typically go in there, and the last couple things, I'll usually just uninstall those. And the things at the bottom of the list are the ones that were there when I first did my machine, so they're probably very necessary.
Yeah, but also, I mean, that's also where you're going to get the same date for your bloatware. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just be aware of what you've got installed, and uninstalling things could be a little bit dangerous. I wouldn't do it for anything that sounds hardware-y.
Yeah.
But when it comes to antivirus and a game or some picture utility or something, you know, these things are not hard to remove, and there's not much risk involved.
And the other thing you can remember with auto runs, you don't necessarily have to uninstall something completely. You can trial kind of disable it just by unchecking it in auto runs. And I don't know if I do that for something like these antivirus or, type things where they've got three or four different entries and they kind of have a shell extension and this thing started. It gets a little complicated. Maybe there's some weird side effects if you just turn part of it off but maybe miss part of the rest. So it's maybe easier to just uninstall those.
Yeah.
But, you know, an example like that Pokey thing we saw where it's like, I don't know what that is. It's just this one thing. Well, maybe I'll just try turning it off and just see if I notice any difference, and if not, then maybe I'll just go and install it.
Or the Adobe Reader one, you can turn it off only to see it get turned on later.
The update just puts it back again, so that's fair enough.
Cool. All right, so that's the show for this week. If you have any questions, if you want us to go through yours, just send us an email at defragtools@microsoft.com. We'd be happy to help you. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.